And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey. Israel had his blessing. Read. Again, Lord, we ask that you would open the pages of the book. Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we might be able to receive that which you have for us. We ask you, God, to speak through this plain. Lord, that we might hear with a spiritual heart and know what it is that you would have for us. Take us, Lord, and use us. In his precious name, we ask. Amen. The story that I just read is not a story. It's facts. It happened. It was during the time when Moses was leading the children of Israel to the promised land. Everybody that was with him depended upon Moses. They depended upon him and his contact with the Almighty God for directions, for what they needed to do, and for which way they had to go, whatever it was. They depended upon Moses completely and his connection with God. Well, Moses was directed by God exactly what to do, precisely item for item. He was to erect and to build the tabernacle to God's specifications, not leaving anything out, not shortened, not lengthened, but just exactly as God would have it. And when he had builded the tabernacle, it was empty. Nothing. Just what God had told him to put in there. Those most sacred things that they had was there. This was a place that God knew that he would dwell. This was a place. Just like the sanctuary that you sit in this morning, that God directed some men back years ago, in 1907, I think it was, to build this place. To build this place as a house of worship, as a place where God might be able to come into, that he might come in and fill this place with his presence. Aren't you glad of it? Amen. Praise the Lord. For all these years, it has stood. How much longer it's going to stand? Well, we don't know. We don't know that God won't call us out this very day and say, well, that's it. I've had enough. Call you out. Then what would happen to the sanctuary that is here that we would think is so holy, a holy place? What would happen to it? Without the presence of God, it's dead. You know, so Moses, when they had set up the tabernacle, the tent, it was a temporary thing. It was something they could move. It was something they could carry about. But there was something happened very special to this tabernacle. And as he said, there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. to guide them through the wilderness, to show them to the promised land. That strikes a note, don't it? Okay. So, God said that as He did, He led them by the cloud in the day. It didn't make any difference if it was as clear as it is out there this day. Not a, you noticed the sky in the last couple of days, it's been as sparkling clear as it could be. But yet, one little cloud was in there. God put that little cloud in there as a guide to show them the way. That cloud would be out there in the skies, but when it came down and settled on the tabernacle, He was in it. There He was. As long as that cloud was on that tabernacle, God was in there. Moses could not enter when God was in there. He could not. He wasn't allowed in there. But when the cloud was lifted, when it just began to come up, well, I can just see it there, just come up off of that tabernacle and start out. They knew it was time to move. It was time for them to follow after the cloud. It was a cloud as probably, as I imagine, I don't know what it looked like, but they did. It was special. Because this cloud in the daytime was simply a cloud, but at nighttime it illuminated. It became a light. It became so bright that they could follow it in the darkness. They walked day and night. As long as that cloud was leading them, they were moving. But when that cloud stopped and settled back on the tabernacle, they stopped. They didn't make a move. They did not make one little bitty move without that light. Yeah. Well. And you know, the tabernacle itself was picked up and it was carried. And you can read the story how that was done. Precisely. It wasn't to be, it wasn't just throw her on your back and go, boys. No, it wasn't. It had to be just so. So remember that one time when it started, the Ark of the Covenant began to rock a little bit, that it kind of got off balance, and he thought, one of the people thought it was going to upset, and he reached up and he touched it to hold it so it wouldn't upset. It did. Killed him, did. Wasn't to touch it. This was sacred. Wow. We're talking about the tabernacle of God. We're talking about our church right here today. It's so sacred. Yet sometimes we'll treat it just like any other building. We come in sometimes with all the yakety 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 yak, and I bet God says, hey, won't they ever shut up and listen? You know? It just seems like sometimes, and well, praise the Lord, we're not riding motorcycles up here, are we? We're not desecrating our altar with junk. We're not doing a lot of things that some people think, oh, that'll be okay. When God laid His hand upon this building, it was for His purpose. It was for God. It no longer was one of the community buildings. It was no longer a store. It was no longer a restaurant. It was no longer this, that. It was God's house. Every item in here was dedicated to God. Everything. And those people that have gone on, that established this church, if they can look down on it today and say, praise God for you people who has kept our house holy. Yes, they would be proud of you. They would be. Because you have kept God in your sanctuary. Well, you know, that story is being led by Moses. Throughout the journey as they went in Exodus 13:21-22, it reads, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar and the cloud by day, nor the pillar by fire by night from before the people. God led the people. Unmistakably, he led them with a fire. It was something that they could see. You know, probably that would be good if we had a fire that was leading us, that if we had a little cloud out there or something that we could see, a sign. Wouldn't that be nice if we could see it? Well, you're not, because that was taken away. When the Old Testament was completed, it was taken away. But, listen to this. What I read to you tonight. In Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. You do not need any clouds, no bright lights. You do not need any of these things. All we need is the Word of God to guide us. The Spirit of Almighty God, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, He is the light of the world. He is that great light that shines in darkness. Yes, we have a light brighter than that cloud. We have a light that can be in every one of us at the same time. Makes no difference where you are. You see, in their time, it was one. It was one light. It was one cloud. Today, Jesus Christ lives on the whole world with any and every one of us. He guides us. He is the light. Hoo-wee. The tabernacle is our church. The light is Jesus Christ. What more could we ask for? What more could we want? What? How can we go astray? How can we get lost? How can we go off of the deep end if we continue to follow that light? Keep your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ. You won't get lost. You won't fall off the path. You won't get into the brambles and the bushes and all this, that, and the other thing, which is the sin of this world. You won't get into it as long as we're following Jesus Christ. As long as we allow His light to guide us. Oh, it's easy sometimes to look at the shiny things of the world, which is not the light, but it's only a magician's trick to show us, to try to convince us that glitter out there is the light. That light lives within us. It is the light of Jesus Christ. We receive Jesus Christ when we accept Him for who He is, the Son of God, who is able to lead us, who is able to make us exactly what He wants. Oh, it is great just to know that He thought enough of me that He was able to say yes. Yes. I'll give you a light. I'll guide you. I'll show you if you refuse. Sometimes we get a little contrary and we say, I think the better way. There is no better way. Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth and the life. He is the only way. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men. Yes, that light Jesus Christ gives us can sinners, if we allow that light to shine in our life, they can see a light within us. They can see, I don't know what it is, but it might be happening. That's the way that a Christian lives. So that their light so shines before men that the world can see it. Father, we thank you. We do praise you, Lord. We thank you in a mighty, mighty way that you have seen fit that we might be a part of you. We ask you, God, to keep that light burning within each and every one of us. Lord, we're so thankful for each of your children that are in this congregation this morning. Oh God, it's how they radiate that light that you gave. And we know, God, that all of who come in contact with these your children are going to know that there is a better way. Help us, Lord, just to shine forth. Help us, Lord, to gain that which you would have. We're nothing without you, Lord. Keep us in the palm of your hand. In the name of Jesus. As we sing our song of invitation, God has spoken to you in a way you'd like to get a little closer. Don't let Satan dim your life. Don't let Satan deceive you. But just bring it to you. Plain and simple.